good evening and welcome to Radio Tony. This is Healing Energy for Everyone, and it's becoming my favourite show of the week with the gorgeous Vivian Shapira. And we are so lucky to be able to have her on Radio Tony for this series of shows. If you're listening to this live on Facebook and LinkedIn, don't forget that Payo will be listening live later on to answer all your questions and send you all the links. And today, Vivi and I had lots of fun in the pre-show strategy meeting where we explored some of crystal healing energy properties. But before we get on with the show, I really just want to remind you who Vivian is. Now, Vivian Shapira began her career by training first in clinical psychology and then in the Alexander Technique, a hands-on method for retraining neuromuscular dynamics. Through this work, Vivian developed a refined sensitivity to energy, leading her to add to her existing healing skills. She perceived a need for healing to become a recognized profession, and Vivian then founded Four Wings Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences in 1999, a school for training healers. Vivian's book includes Everyday Magic, published in 2002 and republished in 2020, a memoir, and How to Lose Weight and Gain Money in 2004. In 2020, Vivian published the award-winning, groundbreaking textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery, introducing the world to a new form of crystal healing. When not teaching, healing and writing, or talking to me, Vivian can be found gardening, cooking and spending time with her two granddaughters. Her other interests include travel, photography and making YouTube videos. Vivian lives in Cincinnati, Ohio with her husband and two gorgeous cats. And hopefully they might even appear on the show one day. Good evening, Vivian, and welcome back to the show.
Hello. Hi, Tony. Thank you.
For our listeners, the boys in San Francisco have had a monumental power failure. So we are pre-recording and we'll send this out live later when the power gets on and the guys have had a chance to sort through their systems. But nevertheless, we have some important things to discuss this week. And the focus of this week's show is to start to explore the concept of healing energy, and in particular, crystal healing energy and crystal surgery and their specific points of difference. So let's start with the concept of healing energy, Vivian. What is it and how does it work?
Well, let's distinguish healing energy from energy healing to begin with, just because we've been using those terms almost interchangeably and they're not quite interchangeable. So healing energy is any energy that is constructive and takes us towards a better feeling for ourselves, a better health, a better wellness, a better dynamic. And under that category, anything can qualify as healing energy. A mother's love is healing energy. A friend's love is healing energy. Going to the doctor and having the doctor be understanding and reassuring and helpful, that is a healing energy. Anything and everything can fall into the category of healing energy correctly handled. Walk on the beach, a walk in the woods, a heart-to-heart with a long-lost friend, feelings of connection. These are all healing moments in our lives, easily available to us. And there are many ways to also construct healing energy. And that's what I wanted to talk about a lot during our series, is how to access that healing for yourself on a daily basis by understanding that that is also a need that we have. We need healing energy in our lives. Now, energy healing, that's different because that is a modality and it's when you use your hands in some way, but you don't touch the person. So as distinct from body work, for example, which would include things like Traeger work and massage and, you know, there's a lot of different body works available, but there the practitioner takes their hands and they work the tissues of your body and they work your body in order to release energy and to bring about healing. But in energy healing, and that would be things like Reiki and therapeutic touch and healing touch, the hands are actually off the body and are channeling an energy through the energetic systems. And you're working from the energy system of the practitioner to the energy system of the client. And you could also be channeling healing energy from the other dimension. So that's a distinction. Healing energy is accessible and available to all of us every day, as long as we understand the dynamic. And energy healing, you go to a practitioner, someone who practices a method of energy healing. And I thought it would be fun to just begin there and make a distinction between healing energy and energy healing.
Thanks, Vivian. So there's lots of ways to heal the body's energy centers, and there's many types of energy healings that date back thousands of years. Yes. And it's based on some scientific principles, isn't it, Vivian? What are those? What's the principle that it's based on?
Well, I think traditionally when you talk about healing and you talk about the energy system, we have to go back to the Vedic system. And the Vedic system gives us the seven chakras. And we have an energy system, the same as we have physical systems in our physical body, which is an organism and is a physical system. We have a reproductive system. We have a digestive system. We have a nervous system. We have a muscular system. And the systems all work with each other. And then we get into neuromuscular integration, and we get into the pulmonary system. And then we have the interplay again between all those different systems in our physical body. Then we have the psychological layer, and then and that has got the conscious mind, the unconscious mind, and there are different systems in psychology to understand how our psychology anatomy, for want of a better way to put it, works. Different theorists have different ways of putting that together. And then we have the energetic system, and we basically use the Vedic system, which is the seven chakra system, as the basis of our understanding of energy anatomy. And from yoga, we know that there's a pranic tube, and there is such a thing as pranic healing. I don't know details about it. I do know some practitioners. I don't know a lot about it. But there are also, there is the energetic system, and there are different modalities that work with the energetic system, some in specific ways and some in less specific ways. And so we see that there is such a thing as healing the energy system, which is different from healing energy, which is for all of us, body, mind, and spirit. And so it's important to understand we're very, very familiar, body, mind, and spirit. But if we change that just a little bit and say physical, mental, and energetic, then we get the different gateway, and we can go in through that different gate in a slightly different way, because we've opened up our minds to a few new tracks. Therefore, we can harness other information. Yeah.
I mean, understanding these concepts, it's important for the audience to understand that you need to have an open mind to these concepts as well, don't you, Vivian?
Well, with the work that I do, I don't require an open mind. I just require a willingness to show up, because it either works or it doesn't, as far as I'm concerned. So an open mind would then imply that there's some kind of what they call a placebo effect. And actually, you can affect people without them even knowing, although I don't think that's ethical. But no, you don't actually need an open mind. You just need to be willing to explore, which I guess is a kind of an open mind, but you don't have to start off by accepting it. You know, I much prefer for my clients to be a little bit skeptical, because I've had clients, they come in and they're enthusiastic and they're wonderful and they're all over the place, and there's nothing really constructive, carefully building. And I like to do that. I like to carefully construct a healing session. I like to carefully construct a person's healing trajectory. And it's not about just being enthusiastic and believing. So I guess an open mind, yes, but you don't have to believe is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Willingness is more important, isn't it?
Yes, it's just a willingness to explore, a willingness to experience, and a willingness to be honest. You know, so many people are dismissive. Well, there's nothing you can do with that. You know, then it's just sliding away. And people dismiss their own experiences. I wouldn't be here today unless I were willing. Here's the kitty. Come, let's have a look. Yes, Kitty's got an open mind. She likes the healing hands too. All right, off you go, Kitty. So, yeah, you know, you don't want to be dismissive to your own experiences. And it is quite extraordinary, really, when you start to open up the topic in a gentle way that's not confronting, how many people will actually come forward, and it's a confession. I'm going to use the word confess deliberately. And then they confess to having had paranormal experiences or inexplicable experiences or synchronous experiences. Everybody's had them, but many people are dismissing them. Now, the people who don't dismiss them are making themselves open. They're allowing healing energy to enter their lives. And that's the key. So you've got to allow. You've got to allow things to come in. You know, it's very odd to me. The amount that I know, it's infinitesimal. The amount that I don't know, it's the whole universe. How can I think that I know what does and doesn't work? I tell you what I'm totally clear about. There are laws of nature. Do I know exactly what they are and what the limitations are? No. And I'm exploring. I'm exploring the laws of nature and seeing what else can still be done. We all know that there's more inventions, there's more things going to happen during this century and even the next. How can we say that things don't work and aren't possible? Who would have expected us to be able to be doing this right now, 100 years ago? Wouldn't it have been considered possible?
That's exactly right. And look where we are, live on radio, TV and broadcasting to the world.
Exactly.
I want to just quickly remind listeners that some of these concepts are actually based in physics. And the one of those is that we as humans are made up of molecules and cells, and these cells vibrate all the time.
Yes.
There's a vibrational energy and frequency in the cells throughout our body and an electromagnetic charge, isn't there, Vivian?
Absolutely. And I love what you're saying, Tony, because I think of us, our being, my body, mind and spirit as an orchestra, because every aspect has its particular vibrational frequency. And is when it's in tune, we're making beautiful music with the orchestra of our being. And when we're not in tune, well, then we're going to get sick, we're going to get vulnerable, we're not going to feel well. And so it's all about tuning us up to be a beautiful, harmonious orchestra making beautiful music through our lives. And that vibrational frequency analogy that you're using, I think it lends itself well to the understanding of this orchestral analogy. And we want to get all our parts in tune with each other. And that's what the work that I do with when I'm doing my energy healing and my other techniques and modalities that I have. I am trying to get the orchestra in tune to make beautiful music.
What a beautiful way of thinking about it. So, in essence, the work that you do is available to everyone. And and everyone can actually get benefit from it, whether they believe it or not.
Correct. Uh-huh. Correct. Yeah. It's not about belief. You know, we can't believe that the sun will come up tomorrow. And we even know that the sun doesn't come up. We know that the world turns, but we still stick to our terminology and the way we say things. We don't believe this, that, and the other, but it doesn't care. The sun doesn't care if we believe in it or not. The sun is the sun and goes about its business. We don't have to believe in the moon, but that doesn't change anything. We don't have to believe. It's our belief in something isn't what makes it so. It is or it isn't. And that's my attitude. And this work that we're doing, look, I have to pinch myself. I can't believe the things that I do. I don't believe in what I do. I do it because I see that it brings about the exact effect that people are asking me to bring about. And if I don't, then I'm not the right practitioner. It doesn't mean that what I do doesn't work. It means that what I'm doing isn't what the person actually needs. Because let me just say that out of 10 people who come to me, 9 of them get what they're looking for. And the one who doesn't, it's because I'm not the right person and I haven't got the right modalities and it's not the right timing, perhaps. It's not because there's something that isn't being believed in. It's because this isn't the thing that's going to help. If you go to the wrong medical specialist, the medical specialist sends you on to another medical specialist who's the one who can help. And that's the thing is, that's what people need to be encouraged in. And you know, Tony, that's one of the things I do is I help people find the right person to help them. Everyone can get the help they need, but they need to find the right person for them, the right modality for them. And that's how they're going to get the help they need. It's not about believing. It's about connecting. So, yeah.
And there's lots of different ways that we can seek help. So I'm really excited that in this day and age, things like acupuncture, reflexology, massage, Reiki, crystal healing, crystal surgery are becoming talked about, known about, and used by people to get healing in their lives. I know that I've benefited from regular energy cleansing, and I find it's important. And lots of people have discovered simple things that cleanse your energy that you can do at home. For example, an Epsom salt bath will help cleanse your energy. A salt scrub will help cleanse your energy.
And I want to point out, to interrupt you, Tony, that that's actually crystal healing, because those are from the mineral. Those are elements from the mineral world. And I consider that to be crystal healing, to tell you the truth.
When I was looking at the, because I have Himalayan bath salts that I use, and when you look at them, they are actually crystals. They're crystals that dissolve into the bath water and change the composition of the water that you're bathing in, but they're still crystals, aren't they, Vivian?
Yeah. Well, apparently it's called an ion. If you speak to a chemist, salt is an ion, not a crystal. But for all intents and purposes, in the lay world, yes, those are salt, sugar. These are all crystals. Anyway, they are minerals. There's no arguing about that. And some of them are in iron form, and some of them are in crystalline form. And absolutely, we're talking about the mineral world and healing properties of the mineral world. And, you know, people don't realize it, Tony, but crystals are being used in medical technology a lot. So in a pacemaker, quartz is what's keeping that regular beat, is assisting in maintaining the regular beat, because quartz has this very even pulse. And so there's some crystal surgery for me right there. And then the thing that makes laser surgery work is a ruby. Without the ruby, you cannot focus the laser beam in a way that can do surgery. And there are many, many, many devices and many applications for crystal technology that those researchers know all about. It just maybe doesn't suit the world to say, yeah, crystals have healing properties, and yet they're being used in all our technology. Right now, we would not be able to speak to each other without crystals. Crystals are what make our technology work.
Yeah. In the screens that we're using to speak to each other and see each other live on the show. So LCD is a crystal technology.
That's right. It's all crystal technology. And, you know, our whole digital world, and we're using it all the time. We've got copper wiring. We're using steel. We are using minerals everywhere. And we're in the crystal age. There's just no question about it. And to think that wouldn't have healing properties for our beings and our energy, To me, it's absurd. I can hardly have that conversation with people when they start saying, well, what is, you know, how can crystals have healing properties? And it's like, well, how can't they? Yes. To me, it's like, prove to me that they don't. Don't prove to you, you know, I'm doing it every single day and proving this to myself every single day that crystals do have healing properties. And we're using crystals in ways seen and unseen every single day in order to manage our lives. And it just seems an absurdity to me for people to be denying that crystals have healing properties. But I also do understand that if you take a packet of seeds and you put them in your drawer, and then you look a year later, you will not have a plant growing because you haven't handled those seeds correctly. And this is the way it is with crystals, that if you want to access the healing properties, you need to know what you're doing. Now, some of it's very simple and very straightforward and can be done on a daily basis. And some of it is quite advanced and quite technical. Yes. And you do need to learn a lot and become informed in order to be able to do that. So general crystal healing, you know, it's like gardening. You know, some people, they just, everybody, I hope everybody loves flowers and nature. I guess not everybody does, but let's say most people enjoy flowers and nature. And that's a healing energy that's accessible to all of us at whatever level one chooses. So some people, I mean, like me, Neil and I, we're avid gardeners and, in the, you know, we're looking forward to the spring and the gardening season because that's a very big healing energy for us to work in the garden. And we do quite a lot. And other people, they're a little bit more simple with what they do. And all they have to do is remember to water their plants. You know, it's the same with the mineral kingdom. We can have the same kind of relationship with the mineral kingdom as we have with the plant kingdom. So some people, they just want to do a little bit of gardening on the side, or they want to cook. They want to cook with their vegetables and their plants and so on. Lovely. That's an application of the mineral kingdom. Of the plant kingdom. And other people want to become horticulturists or botanists or go seeking a rare orchid at the top of the mountain that only blooms once in 7 years or something. Everyone chooses their level. And so it is with the mineral kingdom. And of course, the animal kingdom too, you know, Neil and I, we love all three kingdoms passionately, and we make sure to give ourselves healing energy from all three kingdoms in a balanced way throughout the year. Uh-huh. And, you know, we haven't been able to do that because we've been, in lockdown with the pandemic, and we were sorely missing it. We're sorely missing it because that's how we brought balance and healing energy into our lives, was by those things that we were doing with the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, and the animal kingdom. And it's by interacting with these different kingdoms that we become fully ourselves and fully human, and really get to enjoy our time on earth, because these elements are elements of earth, and we want to enjoy being incarnated and being on this planet and enjoying the beauty of this planet. And also the other thing that we get here on this planet that I don't know if it is anywhere else, available anywhere else in any other dimension, is we get to experience the five senses. And then once our consciousness is trained with the five senses, then we have the consciousness of that. And that's why people incarnate and come to Earth, is to experience the consciousness of the five senses and pick that up for their spirits, for their eternal information and knowledge base. And I don't think that there's anywhere other than here on Earth, but of course I don't know. I haven't been told by the other dimension that there is anywhere else. And I think we need to understand, well, what are we doing here? Why are we here? What is the point? And I really have come to think, oh, it's to experience the five senses and experience planet Earth in all its glory. It is a beautiful, beautiful planet. Yeah.
Because, Vivian, there's something special about, I'm a gardener too, and for me, the changes of seasons, I now know my trees. And, for instance, my husband walked out and looked at our magnolias, and, of course, in Australia, we're going into autumn, or fall, rather. And he looked at the magnolias and said, "Oh my God, have I killed them?" And I said, "No, it's just the change of season and they're all starting to lose their leaves."
Yes.
And he's like, "Oh, okay." And they know before we know that the season is changing, because it's still quite warm, hot and humid here in Australia, but the magnolias have all dropped their leaves and they're having a flush of autumn flowers because they know winter's coming long before we as humans do. And I find that the more that I walk in my garden and get to know my plants, they tell me whether they're needing some water, whether it's a change of season, whether they're getting ready to have a last flush of bloom. So there is that energy connection between walking in the plant realm, i.e. my garden, and my own energy. It lifts my energy.
Yes.
So there's another example
of
energy and how it works in our lives.
Yes.
Vivian, we touched briefly before on the chakras, and I know it's a huge subject, and I really want to delve into it a bit deeper in other shows. But can you just briefly tell our audience about the seven main chakras?
Yes. The first thing about the seven chakras is that they follow the colors of the rainbow, and then three chakras have additional colors. Yeah. So the chakras are numbered 1 to 7, and number one is the root chakra at the base of the body, and actually encompasses the base of your body as well as your legs all the way down to the ground, and the color is red. And then the next chakra is your second chakra or sacral chakra, and it is below your belly button and encompasses also towards your belly button, and that is your second chakra or sacral chakra, and it is orange, and that is also your emotional chakra, and where your emotional system springs from is the second chakra. The second chakra is fascinating. I could speak for six weeks just about the second chakra, because we're formed in our mother's second chakra when she is still in your grandmother's second chakra, because the egg that became you was formed in your mother's ovaries when she was a fetus inside her mother. So we're formed, it's a triple hitter in the second chakra, by the second chakra, at the second chakra. Yeah, it's amazing. The second chakra is fascinating, a fascinating chakra to me. The next one, the third one, is the solar plexus. It's yellow, and it's at the costal arch. Where the solar plexus is, there is such a thing as a solar plexus. The plexus is a bundle of nerves, and it's there where the solar plexus is. And that solar plexus chakra or third chakra is where all the organs of self are. So your liver, your kidneys, your pancreas, your stomach, your gallbladder, your spleen, they're all there at the second chakra. And those are called the organs of self, because third chakra is the chakra of yourself. And then comes your heart chakra. That's the bridge chakra. And the heart chakra is green in terms of the rainbow, and also pink is associated with the heart chakra. I didn't say at the root chakra, the associated colors are red and also black. And then we get, so from the heart chakra, and that's the bridge chakra from the lower chakras to the upper chakras. The heart chakra is another chakra we can talk a lot about. Your heart chakra relates to your soul. You know, we always say heart and soul. We know these things. There is so much already packaged into our language, and that is included. We talk about heart and soul, and our hearts and our souls are very connected. And then comes the throat chakra. And that is, the fifth chakra. It's, the color is light blue or sky blue. And, of course, that's the chakra of the voice. And what people don't realize, just like the medical specialty, ears, nose, throat, all to do with the throat chakra. So the ears are part of the throat chakra, and it's quite important to figure that out. I had to sit down and figure these things out. You know, the information is not well organized out there.
Correct.
And so I've been organizing it and researching it and double checking and so on. And then comes the third eye, which is over here. And I think it might even be showing on the screen. My third eye opens up and it looks like I've got a bruise or a dirty spot there. My third eye opens and does that. That's you seeing energy. If you can see my open third eye, then you are seeing energy. And that's been one of my difficulties, is that I haven't realized that what I've been seeing is energy. I've been thinking, but isn't everyone seeing that? Because it looks so material to me in those ways. Anyway, the third eye is indigo. And it's the one chakra that the back and the front are not opposite each other. The back of the third eye, and it's quite important actually to know this, is over here at the back. So it's actually at an angle, you see. And then comes the crown chakra at the top of the head. And it doesn't correspond to the hairdresser's crown, which is a little bit back here, where your hair is growing in a whirl. It is more at the top of the head here. And that's your crown chakra. And the color of the crown chakra is violet and also white, and the silver white light.
Yeah.
You can use violet or silver white for the crown chakra. Now, there are other chakra systems where there's 12 chakras. And then there are literally hundreds of chakras, because the chakra is just an energy point. It's a point at the body where a lot more is happening. Because one day I just said, well, what actually is a chakra? You know, I thought, what is a chakra? We talk about chakras as if we know what they are. And what are they? But if you look, you'll see. And then people were saying, it's where the endocrine glands are, and the endocrine glands and the chakra system are actually the same thing, or something like that. Well, actually, it's not true. It is true, but there's more than that to the story, because everywhere that there is a chakra, you'll see, there's a very important collection of organs there, very important nerve bundles there, as well as these other dynamics, endocrine glands and so on. And so each chakra has associated with it organs, nerves, endocrine glands, and multiple dynamics. And the chakra is that area's orchestra of what's happening in that particular accumulation of energies, and how they are coordinating with each other and working together or not. And that's what a chakra is. So it is actually a picture, a projected image or dynamic of the synergy of all the contributors to that chakra. And that's how you can check what's going on. But the chakras are also a gateway in which you can get into the energetic system and start adjusting it. So like a chiropractor goes to your spine and adjusts your spine, energy healer goes to your chakras and adjusts your chakras.
I see. Yeah. Because we can't talk about anything within this whole subject without talking about the chakras. I wanted to now move back into that, talking about crystals and their energy.
Yes.
And I thought that we probably needed to let the audience know that we can't talk about this without talking about crystal consciousness. Vivian, what is crystal consciousness?
I'm going to throw that back at you, Tony, because I'm not exactly clear what you're referring to. So I'm going to let you answer that a little bit, and then I'm going to join in with you when I understand what you are pointing me at.
Well, I needed to understand what the generalized study of crystals and crystal energy was. And then I started to talk about this concept of crystal consciousness. And basically it's just understanding that crystal energy and the vibration between the mineral kingdom and crystals, and that each crystal carries a unique frequency and that's based in physics. So we know, and it's given and accepted, that quartz is used in quartz watches, and that's because quartz oscillates or moves or vibrates at a certain number per second. that's why they use it to track time. And so that's where my concept of crystal consciousness came in, that I needed to have a basic understanding whilst diving into the rest of the crystal conversation.
Yes.
And then I, you know, as I read more, I began to understand, like you said before, that crystals are using lasers to amplify light. And then, you know, that the I also found out that our body is a body of energy, and it's always in a state of flux, like it's always moving and it's not stationary. Whereas crystal energy is constant, and that was something that I didn't know either. And because crystal energy is constant, it can be relied on to always produce the same effect. So, you know, for crystal, for rose quartz in particular, which is one of my favorites, is because it's nurturing and safe, and it's a kind vibration. I actually have crystal quartz sitting underneath my computer whilst we're speaking, and I'll show the listeners just so they can see, because I love it so much. It sits underneath my computer because it's nurturing and kind, and that's the vibration that I often need to tap into when I'm doing the work that I do. So that's all I meant about having a consciousness, having an understanding about the power of crystals, I guess.
Yes, and for me, crystal consciousness just begins with whether you like anything in the mineral kingdom or not. And what I reflected on is how everybody has gems and everybody values gems. I mean, how did gems become the most valuable thing in existence is the thing that puzzled me. We are built on a consciousness that crystals are valuable in some way. We're after the gold. We want the silver, we want the copper, we want the diamonds, we want the rubies, we want the sapphires. Well, not only those are valuable to us, they're all valuable to us in some way. People love them, they're very attracted to it. And that's where, for me, crystal consciousness begins, is just that this is something lovely. This is like, wow, I love this. And that's what happened to me. And it was rose quartz for me too. When I was 10 years old, I went to Southwest Africa. It's not called Namibia now. My dad was born in Southwest Africa. So we went to this tiny little town called Kitmanswerp. And I walked through the former neighbor's backyard. And there in the backyard was this rose quartz rock garden, a rockery. And it was just this mass of glowing pink stones. And I just took one look. I was 10 years old and I went, one day I'm going to collect crystals, is what I said to my dad. I mean, the consciousness just hit me like a ton of rose quartz. And my dad, I was dumbfounded. I'd never seen anything quite as magnificent. And I said to my dad, I'm going to collect crystals one day. And I guess it was my first psychic moment as well, because I just knew. I looked at this and I went, that got me. And that was the beginning of my crystal consciousness. And my dad said, well, that's kind of an expensive hobby. He was right. As all us crystal lovers know, there's a no end to our desire for crystals. But when I look back on that day, and it was just, I'll never forget it. It's here indelibly imprinted in my mind and in my consciousness. And that's where one wants to begin. You don't want to make it complicated. It's, do you like it? Okay. Yes. Do you feel attracted to it? Yes. Then let's begin there. And that's, you know, that's how to go about it. You know, the one thing I don't want to do is make things more complicated than they need to be for people. Yeah. And it's just a basic level of attraction, the same as with a friend. You meet someone and they make you feel good, so then you like them and you want to see more of them. It's the same with the crystals. You like the crystal, you hold it, it makes you feel good, and you go, yeah, I want it, I want more of it. And then and now you have a new friend and maybe even a new teacher. Of course, I've learned everything I know about the crystals from the crystals themselves, you know, 90%, maybe 10% from other sources.
Yeah. Vivian, we've been talking a bit about crystal healing, And I wanted to note for the audience the difference between crystal healing and crystal surgery, because then I want to talk a bit more about your textbook. So what's the difference between crystal healing and crystal surgery?
Well, let's say that crystal surgery is a submodality of crystal healing. So I was saying, you know, at the beginning of this conversation, I was saying that, you know, if you want to get more technical, then there are places to go. If you're with energy healing and so on, you can. And so generally, crystal healing is pretty straightforward, and there are straightforward things that you can do. You can put crystals in your pocket. You know, I know the women put the crystals in their bra. You can wear them. You can wear earrings. You can, like you did, you've grid yeah. your area by placing crystals in particular places. You can use them to energize your home. You can get a big, beautiful crystal and display it in your home, and it will give off a good vibration and light and energize your home. There are very straightforward things that you can do that are very enjoyable that you can do with crystals. And then, and that's, you know, kind of like everybody cooks food for themselves to eat, and they don't have to be, you don't have to become a chef in order to be able to cook a nice meal at home. And so it is with crystal healing. You don't have to become an advanced crystal healer with a lot of technical information in order to get a very enjoyable and constructive relationship with crystal healing. You can do it in a more casual, relaxed, and enjoyable, fun way. But I work with crystal healers and people who want to become professional crystal healers. Well, then it starts to get a little bit more advanced, because it's not what you like. It's not just for you and your family. It's more being able to adjust and modulate in accordance with what the client needs. And so that's a little bit more advanced and requires a little bit more knowledge and information. What does this crystal do, and how do I use it? And I don't know that much about other crystal healing methods. I did train with Melody, and I do know Melody's method of crystal healing. And, you know, crystal healing comes as a lot of shamanic tradition to it. So there are shamanic ways of engaging crystals and using crystals and their energy. And I think that Melody's style of crystal healing was very much based in the ways that her shamanic teacher taught her to use crystals. And she does crystal layouts and so on. But I started off in a completely different way, not knowing what I was doing, but just being guided by the crystals themselves to do this, that, or the other. And I would hold the crystals in my hand and I would do things. And then that became a sort of more and more sophisticated piece of research for me as I started to look into more detail. And so crystal surgery is like becoming a horticulturist in you know, you enjoy being a gardener, but you just do it in a casual way. Then you can go study. So it's more like the horticulture of crystal healing, and it's very technical. Now the term crystal surgery, I tried to change the name. It named itself, the modality named itself crystal surgery, because I was using the tools as precision instruments, and I can literally cut. Yeah. You know, because I've investigated energy anatomy, and I can go in and literally cut into the energetics and stitch up and fill in and do things that are very similar in nature to a physical surgery, except that I'm doing it on the energetic system, and I'm very technically adjusting the energetic system, maybe, you know, maybe cut it open, clear away energy, suction out what we don't want there, then stitch it back up again, using fillers and so on. And I have documented all this information in my book, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery, How to Do It. And I've also put together, with Neil's help, thank heavens for Neil is all I can say, because he's a wonderful photographer. So we're able to have a YouTube channel, because of course this all has to be demonstrated. And for me, when I realized, you know, when I realized what the capacities of YouTube are, I was like, this is amazing, because we, Neil and I, we can document crystal surgery and we can put it up on YouTube, and people all over the world will be able to see this emerging submodality of crystal healing. And it's been so gratifying, Tony, because, of course, I do have a following developing and people are being very grateful. And it's just wonderful to see it coming together. And I know we've got a long road ahead of us, and I know it's a difficult trajectory, but my mission is to get crystal surgery documented for future generations, because the results, they are not miraculous, because we are working with the laws of nature, but they appear to be miraculous, because it's kind of new and we're not sure how it can be happening, and that it's so wonderful. And we live with the miracles of modern medicine all the time. And I do believe that what I'm doing is very rudimentary version of the surgeries of the future, that this information that I'm putting together is going to lead to a medical specialty in the end. And we already have the infancy of that, as I said, with pacemakers and laser surgery and so on. And I do think that there are more crystals that have additional capacities that can be combined with medical technology, and that crystal surgery is going to usher this in as a systematic place to research the properties, the amazing properties of the mineral kingdom for healing. Yeah.
So Vivian, you've already got 25 years of research that's gone into the complete guide of crystal surgery. So there's a monumental amount of research that you've already done that's gone into the existing textbooks.
Yes.
There's so much more that we don't know.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that there's more crystals that you haven't worked with yet that could prove to be groundbreaking in themselves. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And at a certain point, you got to start understanding the energy anatomy better, because that's what you're operating on. So there's a few things that you have to develop in order to be able to do crystal surgery. The one is that you've got to develop your knowledge of energy anatomy. And the other is you've got to develop your ability to perceive what is invisible to the human eye. And so actually, as we are having this series, I also have a course that I'm teaching how to read energy. And I do have a video how to do an energy reading up on YouTube, because you have to learn how to feel and sense what you can't see with the naked eye. Now, some people can see energy, but they're not necessarily seeing the energy anatomy that I'm talking about. Now, you got to go by feel when you're doing that, and that is very systematic, very, very systematic in how you learn how to do that, because you're learning to use your brain in a different way. And, you know, that's the other thing. It's not only the crystals that we need to explore, it's our own brains that we need to be exploring.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a psychologist, I'm fascinated. I'm absolutely fascinated by the human brain. And then I'm equally fascinated with it because I'm an Alexander teacher, which is dealing with the nervous system and dealing with consciousness.
Yeah.
So I'm approaching it from multiple modalities and 40 years of experience in the field, and 25 years of those who are working with crystals and crystal healing. And where I've begun is by thoroughly researching about 110 methods. But if I can do it, that's one thing. Everything that is in the complete guide to crystal surgery, I have watched to make sure that everybody I show how to do it can get the same result as me if they follow the technical procedure correctly. There is not one technique or procedure in the complete guide to crystal surgery that only I can do. These are all technical procedures that anyone can do if they're using the correct equipment and doing the steps correctly. And there's no belief required. We're talking technique. And that's the test. So first I had to discover, oh, these crystals will create this effect. Then I had to discover, but can I improve that? Then I have to check, does this work on everybody? Then I had to check, can anybody do this? Or is it only me that can do it? Because there are some things that only that one person seems to do because they've got a knack or a talent or an innate healing gift. I've been told I have healing hands. Yes. So if I put my hands on people, yes, it makes them feel better. But that's my nature. That's an innate gift that I have. Now, crystal surgery, I have an innate nature to enjoy crystals, but crystal surgery is not about innateness. It's about research and technicality and extreme enjoyment and love as well.
Yes.
And, you know, I love the crystals. I love the work.
Yeah. With crystal surgery, it's designed to be done on another person. Like, is it possible to do it on yourself? Or
yes, there are some techniques and procedures you can do on yourself. And I do have a video up on YouTube, how to do a crystal surgery on yourself. But I will tell you, one of my definitions for mastery is when you can do for yourself what you are already able to do for others, that's when you're stepping into mastery. So working on yourself it's actually quite difficult. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some ordinary, straightforward things that you can do for yourself. There are. Just like, you know, you don't have to be a doctor to put a Band-Aid on a sore on your hand. And, you know, you don't have to be a doctor to know how to wash your hands, to wash off the gene. You know, there are procedures and things that you can do for yourself. And then there are others that you can't reach. So you need to, you know, you need someone else to do it for you. Or you don't have the knowledge to work on yourself. You know, having insight into yourself is very difficult. It's a very difficult thing to be able to perceive yourself in any other way than subjectively. We are very subjective people, and that subjectiveness can get in the way. But yes, there is crystal surgery, and there's a lot of crystal healing too that you can do for yourself. And of course, the beginnings of crystal surgery are regular crystal healing techniques. So that's where you have to begin. And I do provide that on my website. That's why the website's called crystalhealingtechniques.com, because it's about crystal healing in general. And for those who want to advance on into crystal surgery, we have that too. And but always everything's in the easy box, and stay with it being easy and enjoyable. It's got to be fun. Yeah. It's got to be enjoyable. And you can't feel overwhelmed, you know. Being overwhelmed isn't a good place to learn.
Vivian, before we run out of time, I just quickly want to remind the audience that if you want to connect with Vivian in any way, and you've missed the details that Vivian's given, jump onto radiotony.com, look under co-host section, and there you will find all the links to Vivian, her website, her courses, her book, and information about Vivian and where else to connect with her, including YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So we are running towards the end of our show, and Vivian briefly lost her camera while I was discussing how to connect with her. Vivian, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful show this week, and another fascinating discussion about crystal energy and energy healing for everyone. We are completely out of time. We will be back next week with another show and the amazing Vivian Shapira. Again, don't forget to connect with Vivian on YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Those links to connect with her are also on radiotony.com under the co-host section. You'll find anything that you need to know. Grab a look at Vivian's book, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. It's amazing. And we will be back next week to continue this conversation on Radio Tony, Healing Energy for Everyone. Vivian, thank you so much.
Thank you. Excellent.
And that's our lot for this week.